Grace, grace, God's grace. This is the grace place right here. And each Sunday, as the hymn book is opened, I trust that someone's eyes would be opened as well, and they would find God's grace. I've given this out before. I have a few, maybe about 20 of these little booklets called Words, The Power of Words, and especially the N-word. If you would like to get one, see me on the way out, and I'll be glad to give it to you. You can open your hymn book, the H-I-M book, to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. I think the last time we were here, we were in Luke chapter 4, where the Lord Jesus spoke in his home assembly. And we read that he opened the book and he found the place. Sometimes we open the book, but we have difficulty finding the place. But before we finish this morning, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take somebody here to the place where they need to be. And only the Lord Jesus can open the book. And so we pray that the Spirit of Christ would be here among us this morning. The Old Testament, 1 Kings 18, the question was asked, how long halt ye between two opinions? America cannot make up its mind. This morning it is halted between two opinions. And it has a transmission problem, not the automobile transmission problem, but the fact that we are stuck on stupid. The Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Instability and uncertainty make a poor foundation for anything. They are the aggregate sand spoken of by Jesus in his story about the foolish man trying to build his house on nothing. America cannot make up its mind about 1,000 issues and resembles the raucous mob in the town square, arguing about everything, taxes, borders, gender, inequality, abortion, race, money, you name it. Or like the poor soul found in the New Testament possessed by an entire legion of demons. What if all the chaos, conflict, confusion could be settled with a single move on the chessboard of choices? What if a single choice could calm the storm, clear the air, stop the stampede, still the waters? What if we did not have to wait for recounts, audits, consensus, courts, councils, Congress, or political parties? What if I voted for someone with a single act of faith and fidelity, for someone who would rule righteously, justly, and wisely? What if that person would never break a promise, disappoint us, fall from grace, or betray our trust? What if that person had your best interests at heart and ensured felicity and met every necessity? Would it not be wise to transfer my trust and allegiance to him? The Gadarian demoniac found Christ, the only one able to deliver him from a life of chaos. Only Christ can deliver us from the vanity, insanity, and profanity of sin. The poor man suffered from a demonic despotism of doubt and lived among the Crips and the Bloods of unbelief, and was chained to a tomb and the gloom of confusion. He was oppressed by the occupational forces of evil and the legion of devils. His condition was systemic, confusion, and a schizophrenia of self-worship and self-destruction. He was caught in the undertow, riptide, gravity, and power of darkness. Jesus set him free. Once, bleeding, naked, and mad, he was suddenly found seated, clothed, and in his right mind. You can cast all the ballots you want, but only Jesus Christ can cast out bad spirits. Choose Jesus. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. And then he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." He said unto him, "Come out of that man, thou unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is thy name?" And he answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out into the country. And there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what was done. They came to Jesus to see him that was possessed with the devil and had a legion, sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Father, bless these minutes. If there's someone here this morning who's troubled, someone here who's chained, someone here who's unclean, someone here who's lost, I pray that they might see Jesus passing by. They might call out to him while there's yet time, that you might do a miracle of mercy in someone's heart today. In Jesus' name, amen. It was Franklin Graham who said it 2 months ago. He said he believed that somehow it seems that the devil has unleashed all the demons of hell on the United States of America. I don't know. It looks like he may be right. And for your sake, your children's sake, your grandchildren's sake, this is as serious as a heart attack. And we as believers should take heed and also remember that salvation, if anything, is a great deliverance. And you and I are here today because one day Jesus passed by and found us wherever we were. Be it in the top of a sycamore tree or by a well near Sychar or in a tomb next to a tombstone somewhere in Gadara, God found us all, cleaned us up, saved our soul, and set us on the straight and narrow, headed for the Father's house, and we're on our way. But there could be someone here today. God looks at the heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. J.R.R. Tolkien borrowed many of his characters found in The Hobbit and in The Lord of the Rings from the old Icelandic sagas. My Icelandic mother used to tell us yarns that made our eyes grow big as saucers, which she heard from her mother during those long, dark Nordic winters. One of Tolkien's characters, known to many, was the psychotic, schizophrenic creature called Gollum, who was once a store hobbit of the river folk living in an imaginary Middle Earth. I said imaginary. He was overcome by the evil power of the One Ring. That is just a story, a fairy tale, a frightening fairy tale, if you will. But something far worse than the power of the One Ring has ruined, reigned, and ruled over this planet since the first fallen angel became the Prince of Darkness and had the audacity to declare war on God and on light. Like a wolf in sheep's clothing, he cloaked himself in the garments of a friend, and the deceiver and father of lies that he is led Adam and Eve into folly with his charm. He cast a spell of sin on all humanity. Sin is no joke. It is no fairy tale. The wages of sin is death. Like Tolkien's golem creature, the naked Gadarian demoniac was tormented as he lived like an animal among the tombstones of Gadara, crying and cutting himself with sharp stones. You don't have to go to Gadara to see that. You could go to Seattle or Portland or Baltimore or New York City and see the very same thing. Luke tells us that this pathetic thing, this lost soul, was filthy, nasty, ruined, and revolting, more crazy than a Mad Hatter in Alice's Wonderland. He could not be held by chains, which he burst asunder with a supernatural strength, and the Bible says, neither could he be tamed. Now, I'm no authority on demons, and I know that I'm treading on enemy territory by taking up this text, but I do so not in my name, but in the name which is above every name, the name at which one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When a ministerial wannabe invoked the name of Jesus seeking personal gain, the demon said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Whoa. Then he leaped on him, beating him and sending him off running for his life. Before leaping on him and beating him, he brings us to an important question. Who are you? If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, you might as well put a vacant sign out for all the demons of the world and all the troubles of the world to come and rest upon you. We were on the New York subway years ago when a family, a sweet family from Iowa, came to visit us, and they were nervous about the subway. We said, don't be nervous, it's okay. As we sat down on the subway, a fellow came in with a black leather jacket. That's okay. He had long chains hanging down over his shoulder, and he had one chain going from one pocket up to his nose. That's not so bad. He had a mohawk haircut on one side, and he had shaved head on the other side. And on the shaved side, he had the tattooed word, vacant. And our visiting friends from Iowa got a little nervous. And the truth is, we did also. A person who doesn't have the Holy Spirit in them has a sign that we cannot see that's blinking like a cheap hotel, vacant. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, before you walk out of here today, bow your head and bow your heart and ask Him to come in and walk out of here in faith and without fear of anything. But if you don't know Him as your Savior and you haven't accepted Him as your Lord, I tremble for you, because this world is going mad as we speak. One day, Jesus came by this troubled soul, and the slave of Satan found salvation and deliverance. And I would to God that someone today would be able to say with the saints in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Until you've been translated from the power of darkness, that's where you reside. And that's where you don't want to stay. Or hear Peter say, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you might show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Come, stand in the light this morning and experience by faith the power of his might. Jesus was passing by. He walked by the cemetery when this demon-possessed man came running. It's as if a hostage was chained for years in a maniac's basement and for some reason was let out of his cage on a rare occasion to stand in the daylight. And suddenly he saw a policeman driving by slowly in his patrol car. Imagine that. Somehow he had enough sanity and sense to know that it might be his only and last chance to be saved. And he rushes towards the light of the Savior. And in a plea of desperation, he falls down on his face at the feet of Jesus in a posture of worship, the Bible says. But his captors, the demons of darkness, his captors, no sooner does he fall at Jesus' feet, when the demons come and take over and start yelling at Jesus, "What have I to do with thee?" Jesus recognizes the evil and orders the unclean thing to come out of the man before asking, "What is your name?" And the reply is startling. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, a company in the United States Army is 100 to 250 men. A battalion like the Roman Legion is about 1,000 men. And if you have ever watched a battalion pass in review, it's an awesome thing to see. Here, there may have been a man with 1,000 demons dancing in his head. On another occasion, the disciples once met a man with a single demon. And when they were out the Mount of Transfiguration and they were unable to cast him out, finding him more slippery than an eel and more tenacious than a tapeworm, and they were powerless. And Jesus said, "Bring him to me." Now this morning, this simple preacher, "I have no power to set a sinner free, but I can lift up the book of books, which is a lamp and a light, a sword of the Spirit, a burning bush in the wilderness." John wrote, "God's word, the light shone in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not." I have no power. You have no power. I, like John, can only say, "I am not the light, but bear witness to the light, Jesus." "Bring him to me," he said. And so every preacher Sunday morning says, "Lord, I'll try my best." Bringing someone to church is not far enough. We need to bring them to Jesus. He can take them to the Father's house. Jesus is the only hope for sinners. He can set the captive free. His blood shed on the cross can make the foulest clean. The demoniac is an example of every sinner. Now, every sinner is not like the demoniac yet. But every cancer is not yet at stage 4 either. It's heading in that direction. And every sinner is on the road to hell. First, this poor man, like all sinners, was trapped. Paul spoke of it in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13 as the power of darkness. Peter in 2 Peter 9 said, "Who hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." Sometimes sin is like a riptide or an undertow. The lifeguards warn you about it. Myrtle Beach. The strongest swimmers are no match against the ocean's power and grip. Once caught in the riptide, the current will carry you out to sea. Then there's the pull and the power of gravity. Sin eventually pulls every sinner across an event horizon, a black hole of hell. Some people say they don't believe in hell, but they believe in black holes. You know what a black hole is? It's hell. And something's pulling us there. Scientists know it. And there's only one way to get out of that riptide, and that's to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Scientists tell us that the force of gravity within a black hole is so great that nothing, not even light, can escape it. That is why we need a savior. The U.S. submarine Thresher was lost at sea when it dove too low, and it was crushed like a tin can by the pressure at great depths. Without a savior from sin, eventually all will be crushed by this power of darkness. The demoniac was caught, trapped, imprisoned by a power greater than himself. And Jesus said, he was the truth, and the truth shall set you free. He called out, in a sense, save me, before the demons pulled him back into the darkness. The second thing about the demoniac is he appeared to be out of his mind, crazy. Could I say, sin is crazy? It's insanity. It's madness. It's crazy to think you can break the laws of an all-seeing, all-knowing God and not suffer the consequences. It's crazy to think that you can sow to the flesh and not reap corruption. It's crazy to play with rattlesnakes and think you will not be bitten. It's crazy to reject the truth and trade it for a lie. It's crazy to play with matches, but it's more crazy to play with hellfire. The Gadarian demoniac was crazy. We have a lot of crazy going on today. Jesus is the only answer. He was cutting himself with stones, and that's crazy. And perhaps he was trying to compensate, trying to make atonement by himself. When we sin, for example, break one of God's commandments, one of God's laws, we're not hurting God. We're hurting our own self. When somebody deliberately breaks one of God's commandments, they might as well ball their fingers up into a fist and punch themselves in the face. You're not hurting God. You're hurting your own self and your own life. The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not commit adultery. These laws are for our own good and safety. Perhaps guilt caused him to cut himself, but that's crazy. Mutilating your body that was meant to be the temple of the Holy Spirit is crazy. After he surrendered and bowed before Jesus, he was for the first time in his life in his right mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Christ offered the garment of salvation. He was naked, living amongst the tombstones. Salvation, if anything, it's a deliverance. It brings us to the place where we can think clearly. Brings us to the place where he covers us, our nakedness, and we live modestly. It brings us to the place where he breaks the chains that shackle us with addictions and passions of this world, and we are for the first time in our life free. He was living among the dead. God is pro-life and pro-eternal life. Don't choose death, choose life. In the transgression of an evil man, according to Proverbs 29:6, there is a snare. Sin is a snare. A carefully disguised cord set on a trail slips over a leg or a neck of a little animal The Bible says that in the transgression there is a trap. The harder the little creature tries to pull free, the tighter the noose becomes, and so it is with sin. Every sin has a stinger, a dragon's tooth, or a venomous fang. Once caught in the spider web, the struggling insect becomes more and more stuck as it struggles to get free. Every sin is a time bomb. It's only a matter of time before it goes off. The Bible also says that evil shall slay the wicked. Psalm 34:21. People blame God for judgment. No, you've pulled the pin on the hand grenade, and it's only a matter of time before it goes off. You're responsible. Only God can save you. Evil shall slay the wicked. A mouse cannot resist the smell of cheese, and so the farmer's wife places a tiny piece on the mouse trap, and it's only a matter of time in the darkness and the quiet of the middle of the night. Suddenly there's the telltale snap. The trap is triggered. Well, Satan knows what kind of cheese will overcome your common sense and baits his traps with care. He knows what the fish are biting these days, and he knows how to bait a hook. If you're not worried about yourself, pray for your children and your grandchildren as they have to sit in the first grade and go through social engineering by the Philistines and the Sodomites. Pray for them that they have enough sense to see their little lives touched by sin, that they are sinners, even if only little sinners, to come to Jesus and ask him to come into their heart and be their savior, because they desperately need them if they have to get on that yellow bus. On any Sunday morning, someone hooked on something or feeling trapped by the consequences of sin, like this demoniac, realizes that he or she is being held hostage, catches a glimpse of light as the Son of God passes by, and they cry out for help like the Gadarian demoniac or like the blind Bartimaeus, tired of living under the power of darkness, cries out to the light of the world. Jesus not only delivers us from the snare of the fowler, he covers us with his feathers and defends us with his shield of truth. Salvation, if anything, is a great deliverance. All through the Bible, in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, God said, "I am come down to deliver." He was speaking to the Hebrews, but he's also speaking to us. 2,000 years ago, he came down to deliver us from the power of darkness and the power of sin. Psalm 56 in verse 10 says, "Thou shalt deliver my feet from falling." Not only does he deliver my soul, he delivers my feet from falling. And we just simply follow him, Jesus. The Bible says that Judas, after he had dipped into the sop, went out and it was night. Whoa. Don't go out into a world without Christ. It's always night. Tomorrow the sun will be obscured in some places. There are some who live in the darkness every day. Come to the light. Come to Jesus. No sooner did Jesus set foot in Gadara, but the demons began to buzz like a bag full of bees. The story of the demoniac reminds us that sin has turned this planet into a dirty, dangerous, and deadly place. This is the story of a man possessed by an unclean spirit. Unclean spirits hover over dying souls like buzzards in the desert. They also can turn a man's mind and heart into a hornet's nest. Society does not know what to make of these homeless, restless individuals, again, wandering the streets of our cities. They are sometimes labeled the criminally insane, schizophrenic, or just crazy. The demoniac was dirty, naked, wild, living in a graveyard. The Bible describes how society tried to tame and control him with chains, which he was able to continually break. On this particular day, he was off his meds, or just off his rocker, when he rushed from behind the tombstones and started screaming at the sight of the Son of God. Only God knows how many men and women were found in a similar sad condition, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, slaves of the Prince of Darkness, living among the dead and in a grave condition. Sin is sometimes described as an incurable, loathsome disease, sometimes a wound that will not heal, a war you cannot win, a way that's wrong without, within. Sometimes it lives in torments by opportunities, though dead and buried, which still haunt their troubled souls every day and night. The what ifs and what might have beens. Remorse. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the light of the world, he cared even for this lost cause. If ever there was one, he was it. His very presence was more than the demons could stand, and they sought refuge and to flee into the darkness, being blinded by the light. Leaping with God's permission into a herd of swine, they rushed headlong into the abyss. It's as if a physician, a surgeon, had removed a mind-crushing brain tumor or a venomous and tenacious tapeworm wrapped around his heart. The poor man was instantly afforded relief. He who was naked, wounded, and wild is now seen, seated, clothed, and in his right mind. It was as if the fog had lifted, or a comatose patient suddenly woke up and arose from the dead. I said that every time this book is opened, and open the book. Every time this book is open, we need to pray that God leads us to the place. Well, taking us to a graveyard doesn't make us feel very good on Sunday morning. So let me take you to a place. Luke, if you will, Luke chapter 8. This Gadarian demoniac, a lost cause, chained by society, ostracized by friends, relatives, filthy, dirty, naked, maybe something you see walking down the street today. Is there any hope? Yes, there's hope. Open the book and pray that God would take you to the place, and then the Holy Spirit would open a heart. Luke chapter 8 and verse 35. And they went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus. That's the place. That's the place. If you have troubled heart, if you have the wages of sin starting to send bills past due, if you suddenly wake up like the prodigal in the pigsty and say, I have sinned, and suddenly if you come for a brief moment to your senses, Jesus is passing by. The prodigal said, I will rise and go to my father. Here, this Gadarene demoniac is found at the feet of Jesus. That's the place. Mary found it. Mary Magdalene found it. The one leper found it, all in the Gospel of Luke. And so we find what we need at the feet of Jesus. We bow before him and we surrender. The Bible says that one day every knee shall bow. 55 years ago, I bowed my knees by that army bunk bed. And when I got up, the war was over. I had peace in my heart that passed all understanding. For my problem was the same problem the world had a problem, whether it was in Vietnam or in Gaza or in the Ukraine. It's a sin problem. And you cannot fix a spiritual problem with a physical solution. Bombs and ballots can only go so far. But in the midst of all of the chaos that perhaps we'll see before this year is over with elections and demonstrations and madness, there is a place that you can find peace. It's at the feet of Jesus. We come to a place called Calvary, and there we see him dying for the sins of the world, even for a Gadarene demoniac, if that Gadarene demoniac would only trust him. If you haven't done so already, trust him today. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't give up on hard cases. Thank you, Lord, for those that are here that were once chained to tombstones, sitting in darkness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for this place. I pray that if there's somebody here today who has never trusted him, that they would look to you, look to the Lord Jesus, that they would open up their heart and let the King of Glory come in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good day, and God bless you all.